All right. Hello and welcome to today's seminar. Today's speakers will be Mr. and Mrs. Fitzgerald. So, thank you all for coming with your smiling faces on time and ready to learn. I'm sure you all know them. They are amazing speakers before the service every Sunday. Oftentimes, you know, you see Miss Jamie and she's just getting so in touch with the Spirit and so emotional, but you know it's of God and it's of just the Spirit because of the power of the words that come out and from her. And then you have Mr. Jacob right there next to her with the word and making sure that we're not only that we're involved, but that the entire body is moving as one. And so a little bit about them is Jacob and Jamie Fitzgerald both graduated in TBI class of 07 and 08. Yeah. They were married 2 years later in 2010 and served here on BMI staff for 8 years. They served in all areas of ministry, including but not limited to the children's ministry and youth ministry. After that time, they moved back to Arkansas, where they grew up, where they grew their family biologically as well as through adoption, and then moved back to Texas in 2020. Jacob is currently a real estate agent, and Jamie is a dedicated stay-at-home mom to their seven children, where she homeschooled them and makes disciples. Both Jacob and Jamie are key leaders of Believers World Outreach Church, leading prayer meetings and stirring people's faith with every interaction. Please stand and give a big round of applause for Jacob and Jamie Fitzgerald.
Amen. Awesome. Y'all sit down. Well, you're awesome, Jason. I appreciate you. And y'all can take a seat. Y'all relax. We're gonna have a good time. Don't worry. We're just gonna do it. You know, just walk through the entire Bible today, and we'll have a good time. We thought this is y'all's last time to be with these sessions, and we were like, man, what did we need when we were at TBI? What was the big deal when we were stepping into our next season? And what, you know, just kind of go through all that. So we're gonna have some conversations on what kept us strong, what's keeping us strong after Texas Bible Institute. And 16 years later. And like, for real. So I want to pray, and then we'll kind of jump into it. Jesus, we love you. We just love you, Jesus. You're so amazing. It's all about you. It's always going to be about you. And let everything that we speak today just magnify you even more. Holy Spirit, even now, begin to work in our hearts. Holy Spirit, begin to just sift through our hearts. And I thank you that you're going to plant something deep inside of us today, and we're going to bear fruit forever. In Jesus' name, everyone said,
amen. Well, we're just going to kind of start with our Jesus journey, a little bit about us, who we are, and how we got here. And then we'll encourage you with how to keep the flame burning in your relationships, in your relationship with God, and furthermore. And so I came from Arkansas. I was actually born and raised in Northwest Arkansas, and I came to the Pour It Out 2006 as a leader with a youth group. I'd never been to Discovery Camp, any of them before. And I was in a leader session, and I think they just prayed in the Holy Spirit the whole time. I don't think any words were actually spoken in English, but when I left the room, I knew I was supposed to come and be a TBI student. I had just graduated high school, and I had no plans, and so the Lord absolutely opened the door, and my tuition was provided both years that I came, completely sponsored, and so I knew this is where I was supposed to be. Didn't dream or imagine that I would stay here, end up falling in love with Texas, and become a Texan, an honorary Texan, nor did I imagine that I would meet my husband here and that we would serve in ministry on these grounds, but it was the best thing that ever happened to either one of us. And so when I got here, though, as a student, I had already given my life to God. First of all, as a teenager, I had been there, done that. And I'll just wrap that up there because my daughter's in the room. But I came to TBI because I had decided I've tried everything else. Let's give God a chance. And so I was sold out. I didn't come here to meet a spouse. I didn't come here to get away from my parents. I didn't come here. I came here to fall in love with Jesus. That's what I came for. And something we've learned just through the years in every service, every class, every prayer culture, every BWOC service is you will get exactly what you come for. If you came for a lazy day to just relax and nap and, you know, pass time because you didn't have anything else to do, you're going to get exactly what you came for. And I came here to fall in love with Jesus, and that's what happened. And my first year, though, I wasn't really, like, selective with my friends. I just kind of wanted to know everybody and hang out with everybody, and I was just excited to be here. You know, I'm 600 miles from home. I could just... freedom, you know? And then, but my second year, I really honed in and it mattered, which was like the leadership class. I honed in and kind of decided it matters who I'm around and who I spend time with because I want my future to look different from this moment forward. But during the discipleship class, I fell in love with my Bible. And I had never known the word like I did when I was at TBI, you know, like just memorizing scriptures, knowing the books of the Bible and where they're found. Like, I didn't know any of that. And I was raised in church, like born and raised in church. And I didn't know where Exodus was in the Bible. But I fell in love with my Bible. And then my second year, we fell in love with prayer and had a growing, intimate relationship with the Lord. And I think that happened on purpose that way. I think it's really important that you know the word and know Jesus in the word in order to grow intimately with him, in love with him. And then, so as a second year, I'll kind of tag and let him interrupt here is where we actually met and, the flame sparked at this altar, actually.
Hey, this was so real quick, I'll tell you, I said yes to Jesus way back when I was probably young, but didn't actually follow him until, I don't know, maybe coming down the flags on my first day at TBI. I threw out my last pack of cigarettes, but I heard God's audible voice told me to come to Texas Bible Institute, and I was fishing with a friend, and my staff sergeant called me. I was signed up for the Marine Corps. And he said, Fitz, when are you going to come sign this paperwork? And all of a sudden, I heard a voice. And, you know, a lot of people think, you know, you hear God's voice, you know, some people, it's in your knower. That's true. You know, some people say, I heard God's audible voice, and it's in your ears. I will disagree with that. I think God's voice is so booming, it shakes every fiber in your being. It was like someone took a speaker, shoved it in my stomach, and I heard God audibly through myself. It was the weirdest thing ever. I was sitting there. Staff sergeant called. When are you going to sign this paperwork? God said, I told you to go to Texas Bible Institute. And I started fumbling over my words, and I hadn't had that much to drink that night, so I knew it wasn't me. And I said, Staff sergeant, I just heard God. And he said, what? And I said, yeah, I just heard God. He told me to go to Bible school. He said, I can't argue with God. Hung up the phone on me. And that was the end of that. Next thing I know, I get here, throw out my last pack of cigarettes, and I said, okay, God, let's see what you got. I was kind of just... you know, in the scenario of I'm going to do what I think Christianity does and hope to get those results. And I had already experienced miraculous healing. I had mitral valve prolapse when I was young, got miraculously healed of that, which is a heart condition, had seen God's power, was called out with words of knowledge right here in this stage from a gentleman, got prophesied over by Pastor Peter before we even knew each other over there. I mean, just things that kind of added up. Anyways, to get here, first year, kind of same scenario. I started dabbling in prayer. And prayer you can't dabble in because it'll get you. And I started praying. I heard this guy praying for it. This is awesome. It was actually Miss Marissa's brother. His name's Jacob. I heard him praying for his family. And he was during lunch. He was like, God. Same old God. I mean, he's getting after it. And I was like, I'm going to do that. And I went to my, and so I started fasting for my brother, who was heavily addicted to drugs. And I remember that was probably right before Thanksgiving. I started praying, and I went home, and my brother's literally rolling. Yeah, and sorry.
Earmuffs.
About to partake. And, and I said, you need to quit that junk. And he was like, whatever, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I said, you know, I finally got so fed up. You know, there's a such thing called this righteous indignation. The Spirit of God begins to rise up in you, and you'll begin to disagree with things you normally would keep quiet about. And I said, you're going to quit, not even know why. Now, to tell a drug addict that they're going to quit, not even know why, is kind of an interesting statement. He laughed at me and proceeded to partake. And I was like, you know what? So I went and I started fasting and praying every single day at lunch. You know, so I walked in my room, and at that point, you know, it was like Steve Harvey and Family Feud was on. Turned it off. Turned on some worship music, and I began to pray for, and fast for my brother every single day. Just during lunch, wasn't a long time. I think Wednesdays, I took Wednesdays off. And it was in J dorm, J2 at the time, which is the first door to the left. I don't know if it's changed, but I walked in. J dorm's not even J dorm. What dorm is that? F dorm. Okay. F dorm. And I began to pray, and all of a sudden, this was one of the first miracles I saw within my family. I won't go into the full thing, but literally a demon manifest in the room, and I told it to chunk deuce, and it did. And then I freaked out because I felt the presence of God lift out of the room, and I was like, oh my goodness, I just saw something I've never seen before. And all of a sudden, when that happened, I went home. That was after we're going home for Christmas break, interesting enough. And I'd been praying, fasting. I walked upstairs. My brother said, hey, Jake. I said, what? You know, brotherly love. He said, Dad, tell me what? He said, I quit. I said, you quit what? He goes, everything. And I said, why? He goes, I don't know. Why? Job says, when you decree a thing, it is established. Yeah. When you prophesy something, my words don't fall to the ground void.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it planted a seed in him that today, this is, I don't know, you said 16, 17 years later, he's still delivered
free.
Of
yeah.
that.
Yeah. So we had similar stories. So our second year, that was during his first year. And during my second year, I had began just a walk with God where I wanted to be alone. I was I just wanted to grow in my prayer life. I wanted to grow in relationship with him. And I had so many needs. You know, I had the to-do list, the 1, 2, 3s. God, I need you to do this. I need you to provide. I need you to get my family saved. I need healing for my grandma. I need all these things. So I would come in here every morning around like 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning while the campus was still super quiet. And I was the only one in here. And I would pray for my family. And I had a brother that was addicted, and I began to pray for him and all of my siblings. Many of them were doing things they shouldn't be. And I remember it was during Road to Emmaus, during that weekend, which was in October, I believe, at that time. The Lord told me, I just had faith that if I showed up on the doorstep, my brother would get in the car and come to TBI with me. I knew if I could just get him here, that it would change his perspective, that if he could have one moment with Jesus, he'd be set free forever. And I did. I live 600 miles away, and I jumped in my car, and I drove home to Arkansas that weekend. I missed my second year Road to Emmaus experience because I drove out by faith, and I brought my brother back. When I showed up at his house, he was not sober, and I just started throwing things in my car. I just went in his closet, grabbed all of his clothes, and I threw them in my car. And he's like, what are you doing? And I just said, you're coming with me. He was a young adult. He wasn't living with his, you know, my parents. He was just kind of a roommate with some, you know. So he hopped in the car and came down here, met Jesus, was sitting in his bed, on his bunk bed every night, writing down scripture after scripture. I couldn't find him. He was just like, it is word every day. He only stayed for 2 weeks. He went home at Christmas break, didn't come back, but he's still in love with Jesus today. He got set free and never went back to that lifestyle. And so say all that to say, that was like our, okay, this works. Like, we're doing something right. This is how you do it.
And, you know, what's funny is actually me and you know, during that time, right, my first year, when I began to see prayer begins to kind of move things, even, you know, if it's not something, it's myself, you know, prayer
right.
begins to draw. And Peter walked up to me one day, and, you know, it was, you know, Pastor Tommy's son, he was Peter, you know, and he said, you want to come pray with us? And listen, I was wild. Okay, I don't know how to say. I was a little bit out there, and I said, why? And he goes, it's this question scared him. He said, Holy Ghost. I was like, amen. Okay, whatever. End up, we started praying, and that was our first year in 2007, and me and him haven't stopped praying since.
Yeah.
We started praying, and we had this little thing where a group of guys would come and they'd play their guitar, and we'd worship and begin to pray. And then our second year came around. Pastor Tommy put together this group of people because he wanted to see change on the campus, and they were called elders, and they gathered people. John Poodle says it. He gathered people, and randomly enough, they grabbed Jamie and I, and not random, Holy Ghost. We were literally arguing in the source about what God wants to do. Like, they were for real arguing, but not even. Anyway, so Peter and I came in this room. Now, if I get emotional, it's because it's still in me. What happens in this room stays in this room, and it'll stay on you. And Peter and I began, it was like January 5th. I remember that the national championship was going on, and football's a big deal in my life. So God must have been moving. Peter's like, we need to pray for the school. We need to pray for the Tech Spot. Let's do. They need to change. And I was like, let's go. So we began to pray. And we were walking back and forth, praying in the Holy Ghost, screaming, yelling, and spitting everywhere. And we were walking right about where my daughter Cadence is, between Grace and my daughter. And Peter reached out his hand, and we grabbed hands. And when we grabbed hands, the anointing of God hit us both. And we fell out of the power of God. Both of us were there for like 2.5 hours. And God began to do something in us that day. And we get up finally. We're like wiping everything from our eyes. And we're like, let's do this again. Yeah. So the next night we came. We prayed again, and next thing you know, we did it again. The power of God hit us both. We fell out on the ground. Next night, we said, let's do it again. So we came back. We began to pray more and more, and then about the fifth day, I remember we had like 5 guys, you know, with me, Peter, and 3 other guys, and we prayed. We grabbed hands. We gathered around the altar, and I had a vision from the Lord. And the long story short was I saw a dam as far as you could see up and as far as you could see to your left, as far as you could see to your right. I couldn't see the top, and I couldn't see the edges. I just knew it was big. Next thing you know, I had a pick in my hand, and I reared back, and I hit it, and nothing happened. And I reared back, and I hit it again, and it made a chalk mark. And I reared back, and I hit it again, and it chipped. And I reared back, and I hit it again, and it cracked. And then I looked down to my left, and as far as I could see to my left, there was people doing the same thing I was doing. As far as my right, I could see. And then I began to see that intercessors have the first reward.
Yeah.
Intercessors will have the first reward. And that happened like on the fifth night right here. And
that's the night I met him, though, because we were sitting. So that was only a guy thing. And I was sitting in the back. We were walking through the cafeteria, and I could hear them screaming. I could hear him screaming in here. And me and one of my best friends was like, whatever's going on, we want to know. So we came in and we're like, oh, it's just the guys, but we can't miss it. So we were sitting in the back, and that's when I heard him pray, and I was like, that's my husband. For sure. For sure I'm going to marry him.
And, you know, we began to see something move. We did it every single night except for Wednesdays. We came in here. At that time, we had church on Wednesdays. We'd go to Katie. And so every other day, we prayed. We got kicked out of rooms. Like, we'd pray in here, and then, you know, they'd say, we got choir practice, so we'd go in the back, and they'd be like, hey, we got this, so we'd have to go somewhere else. We got kicked out of so many rooms. we had teachers meeting us in corridors, praying, and it was amazing. God began to do something. And but we didn't know, because we were thinking, you know, God's going to change TBI, and he did. But he changed us. He changed TBI. He changed us, and that was what was happening. And then one day, Peter looked in the back and saw a beautiful blonde-headed woman and a short Hispanic young lady. And he said, well, what are y'all doing back there? Why don't y'all come pray with us? And then next thing you know, there was, you know, we had now, it was Peter, myself, and then Stephanie and my wife, Jamie. And
yeah. 5 grew to 6 and 6 grew to 12, and 12 became the whole school because Pastor Tommy got wind of it and was like, hey, they're praying. We need to all be praying. And so it turned into what you know today is prayer culture. And that began with a couple guys who wanted to see breakthrough in their family and in this school 16 years ago. And so it's incredible what God will do with a willing heart, right? The willing and obedient will eat the good of the land. We're still reaping fruit from a willing and obedient heart. And so prayer makes a difference. And what we recognized then was that it didn't always have to be falling out in the power of God. It didn't always have to be the booming voice of God. It just meant show up. Show up night after night after night, 9 o'clock, night after night, 8 o'clock. I don't remember, but night after night, we showed up. We did not miss. Everyone was leaving, you know, to go home for the weekend. We were here praying on Friday night, Saturday night. And we didn't miss a night. And it began a pattern in our lives where we realized that prayer is the move of God. Prayer changes everything. Everything. You're saying, well, I'm still dealing with this thing. Well, have you prayed about it? And yeah, how many times? Because we prayed night after night after night until we saw the breakthrough. And we're just here to encourage you to begin that pattern. Begin right now. Choose any time of day, whatever works for you, but make it a priority to pray. to grow in your personal relationship and prayer walk with Jesus. Because what I brought was some journals. I actually have like 25 of these, but this was one of my first ones that someone, we had a bookstore over here, and one of the ladies gave me this. And I began writing just when I would come in here in the mornings, I would write down what I was praying about, or maybe one sentence. The Lord had said something and I didn't want to forget it, or a scripture that I was believing for that day, something, right? And then, and so what I have now is years of God's faithfulness and answered prayers recorded that I can give my kids one day. And it's a legacy of my prayer walk with Jesus, my journey with Jesus. And what I have here is my 2019 prayer journal, which is, it's completely full, but it began, this is just to give you an example of why it's important, A, to pray, B, to record history with God, and C, to start a pattern, to keep it predictable, to show up every day and watch God move in your life. But it began in January of 2019, where I have prayers for my kids. And if you look on it, Brooke's name isn't there because he hadn't come yet. And I had no idea what God was going to do that year. And so as you go further along, I began to pray for Brooks and his family. And then he became a part of our family. And so I have this testament, this testimony of what God did in our family in 2019. And so you can start now, right now, and then you'll get married one day and have a family and kids, and you'll go, look what God was teaching me in 2008 and 2007, what God was saying. I have our, this is a vision. Someone encouraged us. I don't know if we weren't in marriage counseling yet, because it says 2008. So it must have been at the end of our second year or something. But I have 20 things I wrote down that I was believing God to do in my life from 2008. And it says, to see my generation shake the nations, to make a voice for myself and for him, to make him known to the ones who, make him known again to the ones who once knew him, to follow great ministers and learn how to better further the kingdom, to disciple teens and young women in the extravagant intimacy of God, to train women to find completion in him, to be complete in him, to write elaborate devotionals, to be successful in every opportunity, a healthy, successful, and spiritually mature family. This is 2 years before I got married, right? To grow in the knowledge of the love of God, to singe everyone I come in contact with, to open a place where leaders can be poured back into, to see my entire family not only saved, but intimately in love with Jesus, to teach the word to anyone hungry enough to listen, to begin prayer furnaces and prayer habitations, a prayer movement, to spread freedom of Christ and the revelation of the love and joy to every believer, to show Christ and not just know Christ, to be obedient to every request, to start a miracle movement, to support missionaries and ministries that are changing the world, and to advance the kingdom with not just my actions, but every thought that's produced in my mind. And so I wrote all that down in 2008. Many of those things have come true and are coming true today, right? And so we just want you to make, just to really take note today that wherever you're at the end of this journey, the end of your discipleship journey, or maybe it's your leadership, I don't know what session you're in of TBI, wherever you're at today, it's not too late to start now. You may say, I just went through 4 months. I should have recorded all that. Start today. Start somewhere. In fact, Cadence has 3 journals. I'm going to let you pick. Stand up and hand them out to whoever you want. I had 3 this morning, and they're empty. And so she's going to give 3 away, but we just want you to make it just to notice how important it is. You know, you just said the other day that the book of Psalms is just David's journal. That's what it is, right? It's his ups, his highs, his lows, his victories, his battles. It's all of it, right? It's just David's journal. And so you guys, awesome. Thank you, Cadence, so much. Awesome.
She's my shy one, so I like to give her a hard time. Yeah, So I want to kind of go through the reason why, you know, we want to give just kind of our testimony is because it's 16 years after we sat in your chair.
Right.
I mean, like, I don't think my wife was, she writes a lot. I don't know why I'm so stinking emotional. she wrote stuff down, and I was reading it, and I said, I can't stop.
A little bit. Right here.
And these are, like, she wrote this. She sent it to Pastor Rachel. And I really want y'all to, because this is years after Texas Bible Institute.
Yeah.
And I want to say this. Unfortunately, we are not the normal coming out of Texas Bible Institute. There are people who go their own way, do their own thing. They fall into different things, or they just kind of forget what happened. But I refuse for that to be y'all.
Amen.
I want this moment to sear you forever.
Yeah.
And So these are some things. Because of TBI, I still read my Bible. I love to praise. I walk by faith and not by sight. I'm free and I'm bold. I'm confident. I'm respectful. I'm helpful. I'm a servant. I guard my tongue. I get back up. I love to pray. I'm a velvet-covered brick. I mean, have y'all ever heard that?
Yes.
Yeah,
Pastor Rachel. Because of TBI.
I believe in the power of God. I still pray in tongues. Oh, Lord. Sorry, she didn't text me. She's so nice. I believe in the word of God is inerrant. I believe that God's still doing miracles. I believe I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I believe I have what I say. I know how to study my Bible. God is for me. God is with me. God is in me. I learned how to be a good employee. I learned how to include others. I learned that hope and faith are more powerful than doubt and fear. I learned that I win every single time. I learned the devil is eternally defeated. I learned how to call on angels. I learned to cast out demons. I learned how to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. I learned how to trust God with all my life. And that's, and listen, like these those moments, they'll begin to wreck you. And it's every single one of them is a choice. Because when she was coming in here and praying and going through it in the morning and saying, God, you know, we didn't hang out my second year until towards the end. She actually came up and like tried a Bible slap and like, what did you read today?
She shared a revelation with me and I was like, is that what it says though? You know, I had to check him. He's such a baby.
For real, hey, I thought Saul in the Old Testament was Saul in the New Testament. See, when I first got here, I was like, King Saul? Yeah, Saul, Paul. Got it. They're like, oh, that's different. Peter had a correction on that one. He's like, no, those are actually different. Like, totally, like hundreds of years. And, you know, one thing I did have that a lot of people didn't was just a blank canvas.
Humility.
I said, God, I said, I don't know anything. All I want to know is you, so what's it matter?
Yeah.
I don't know the Bible, you know. But, you know, Genesis to Revelation, but can I know you? Like, yeah. You know, if you're the author, you know, why do I need to know the book? Eventually I learned the book because you have to know the author. But I remember, like, I was telling Cadence right before y'all got in, I was like, I walked through those doors. I sat in a spot back there right before Pastor Tommy's class, and I watched two angels walk up on the stinking stage. Like, I'm looking at you. I saw two angels stand up on the stage. I literally watched God that same day because I was really weird. I said, God, why are the angels vacuuming the altar? Because that's what they were doing. They had the vacuum packs on. And I said, God, why are these angels vacuuming the back, you know, like the altar? And he said, because just as much as you prepare your heart for my presence, they're preparing a place. Had no clue what that meant. Had no clue what that meant. That day we got in, Pastor Tommy walked in the room, walked to the back, turned on his lapel and said, God is here. Turned down the lights. I promise you there was one person to stand about in that meeting. They would literally stand up, and when they mowed, they stand up. He was still in the back. This was—we're not talking about Pastor. It wasn't because Pastor Tommy showed up,
right.
It's because Jesus showed up. He just allowed God to say, "Hey, God, take control. You got it." People would stand up and raise. Pastor Tommy walks and said, "God's here," and someone would recognize. Go, yeah, he is. He stood up, and raised their hands before they could lock their arms. They hit the ground under the power of God. And the next person was like, "I want some of that." And the entire room fell out under the power of God. And I got the precursor. Why did I get to know what was going to happen? Because I was bold enough to pray. The bold, that's really like that was really what it boiled down to. I was like, I got to see two angels here. I prayed for a young man over here. He fell out. I was like, whatever, you know. 2.5 hours later, we had to drag him to the room. And once he finally came to, he told me what heaven looked like. Because prayer. I mean, I could go over places, and there was times where we would be up here and. Peter's like, see if you can feel the anointing. And someone would walk in, he'd say, catch this, and act like he was throwing a ball, and they'd fall under the power of God the moment they hit the threshold. Because of prayer, we found out, like, oh, it's not, the anointing is tangible, it's real. Because of prayer.
Yeah.
Prayer's changed my life. I remember one time, and we'll kind of start fast forwarding, you know, we get married, and shocker. Hey, listen,
thank
men
you,
of God don't
you.
Marry ugly. I'm just saying. And someone says, you married out of your league. I said, I know, God knows me. And, you know, I remember there was times where we needed finances. We knew how to walk by faith, not by sight. We knew, you know, there was I remember one moment we were broke as a joke with six kids. I was selling plasma. We were broke. It's $60 in my banking account. With six kids. They did not a comfortable position, you know? And I looked at Jamie and I said, because I kind of handled the finances. I said, hey, babe, She said, let's pray. We prayed. Kid you not. 30 minutes later, it's 9 o'clock. Kids are in bed. A guy calls me. I haven't talked to him in 6 months. He said, hey, you home? Yeah. He said, I'm going to come see you. He knocks on the door, opened the door. He said, hey, God told me to give this to you. Literally within moments after that prayer, God answered it.
Yeah.
Gave me a check for $400.
Yeah.
You know, you say, what's $400 when you have six kids? It was a house payment. That's what that was at that point.
And then we came home from church, and there was like $50 bills taped to the door.
Yeah. It was literally, I think that week, after that prayer, that week, I think we had $1,500 show up randomly. And we didn't tell one person what we were going through. I'm going to say this. Why do I have to tell someone else? I just have to tell the one that can handle it.
Tell the one who
knows.
I'm
not saying you shouldn't have accountability. I'm not saying you should. I'm just saying, like, there's one that can really answer all the questions.
Yeah. We had already met the miracle maker. We knew he was able, and we just needed to get our faith in line and together in agreement that we were believing for the same thing.
I remember there was one moment that the Lord was saying, hey, I want you to move to, we went with Pastor Rachel. You know, we're about to step into our new season. This is Search and Rescue 2014. And I said, Pastor Rachel looks at us and she said, I could have swore you were going to tell us you're moving to Arkansas. I looked at her, laughed at her. And I said, God wouldn't do that to me, Pastor Rachel. She knows, he loves, I love Texas too much. And that night I said, well, let's pray about it, Jamie. Let's figure it out. You know, we're over in Autumn Joy, which is far right-hand side. And she stayed inside. I went outside. There's a little field over there. I began to pray. And God said, do you trust me? And I said, yeah, I trust you. He said, okay, then trust.
Feed my sheep.
That's not what he said.
I didn't know, but. And he said, you trust me? And that was the last thing he said, then trust. Cool. Okay. Sat there for 45 minutes in silence. I was like, this is awkward. Like, and you're not talking to me. You know, I sat there for 45 minutes like, hey, like, what now? What's because he already said, do you trust me? Yes. Go ahead and trust. That was it. That's all he needed to say. I walk you back inside and my wife's in shambles. My wife is like an emotional stone. And so when I walked in and, you know, there's mascara all over her face, I was like, oh, you meant do I trust you and her? Okay. And she literally told me, hey, there's a hole in the ship in Arkansas. We have to go fix it. Well, guess what we were doing in the next couple weeks? We were packing to move to Arkansas. I didn't want to move to Arkansas, but it doesn't matter. If Jesus says move to Arkansas, guess what I'm going to do? You know, so we ended up moving to Arkansas.
With no jobs, no home, no plan, just the word of the Lord.
Just the word of the Lord. I had like $5,000 in my banking account with a two-year-old, a pregnant wife.
We have more than that. But it is true that God kicked us out of the boat a long time ago, and we rather be wet water walkers. I can't say it. My tongue tied than dry boat sitters or whatever Pastor Tommy said. We have enjoyed living on the water. And anytime we've looked at the waves, he's been there to grab our hands and pull us out. And so it is more fun to follow Jesus that way. I mean, we learned that prayer was the move of God, that if we could pray on it and agree on it, that he was going to move. And we know today that he is still moving mountains. He is still, I wrote that down because it's yesterday I heard that song and I was like, that's it. Mountains are still being moved and strongholds are still being loosed. God, we believe, because yes, we can see that wonders are still what he is doing. Bodies are still being raised. And you say, well, I've never seen someone raised from the dead. You're not following the right people on Instagram. There's people being raised from the dead every day. You're not looking for it. You say, and then he said, it said that giants are still being slain, and God, we believe. And yes, we can see that wonders are still what you do. He is still doing these things. And I would encourage you to look for it. You know, I heard Stephanie Gretzinger say years ago to find people that are more in love with Jesus than you and follow them. And you'll never go wrong. Find someone who's more on fire than you. Don't get, that twisted that you're going to compare and be, convicted and condemned all the time. Conviction is good. Condemnation is not. So if you're condemned, don't follow them. But there are, I know all of y'all have social media accounts. I know you're all on your phones. And so I'm going to give you a list, write these down, of a few people I follow that are your age that will keep you stirred up, because that's what you need in this day and age. You need people around you. Maybe, you know, even while you're sitting at home or in a doctor's office or, you know, on your lunch break, you need people who are stirring you up. So if you don't follow Gen Z for Jesus, you need to be following Gen Z for Jesus. Brian Barcelona, he's one of the main speakers. Yeah, and leaders on that account, you need to be following him. If you don't follow Circuit Riders, I would encourage you to follow Circuit Riders. They are incredible. Ben Fitzgerald, I was going to say, speaking of moves of God, yeah, he's on the other side of the world, and they were started just a worship night, and 3 a.m., they're still going because the Lord showed up. The presence of the Lord was so heavy, they couldn't leave, and that's like in France somewhere, but it stirs your heart. You say, God, I want that. God, I got to get realigned, refocused right now. I need that in my life. So these are kind of people you want to follow. Jesus Image out of Florida with Michael Koulianos and his team. You want to follow them. And then like just some your age, younger, not your age maybe, but younger. It's like Sadie Robertson. She's a great Bible teacher. If you don't follow her, follow her. Tim Tebow. If you guys don't know who Tim Tebow is, you should be following him. He's doing amazing works around the globe, again, for Jesus. But just fill your accounts and your time and your free time with things that encourage and edify and spark the flame in your heart for Jesus. You need to unfollow a lot of people as well. And I'm not going to go through your phones and tell you who to unfollow, but there are a lot of influencers out there that aren't influencing you to do anything for Jesus. And so you need to make sure that you keep that tweaked and keep that fine-tuned because we spend too much time on our phones. So if we're going to be on it, we might as well be listening to people who are talking about Jesus.
Yeah. Well, like I said earlier, you can't talk about prayer. You can't get into it. Yeah, I got 15 minutes, y'all. Y'all know how much I can get done in 15 minutes? Hey, let's stand up. Let's begin to pray the Holy Ghost. Let's go ahead and pray, because I believe that there's going to be, I'll start prophesying, I believe that there's something shifting inside of you right now. I believe that y'all are in a pin drop moment, that there's moments in time that all of a sudden can mark you forever. And so just right now, just begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. I know some of y'all stretch it out, begin it rolling. God's going to begin to do something right here and right now.
Many of you, I'm just going to prophesy, but many of you came to TBI saying, what's my purpose, God? What do you want me to do with my life? Well, I'm going to tell you what he wants you to do. What does a title mean if you hear the words, I never knew you? What do miracles mean if we hear the words, I never knew you? What organization can you stand on, or what friendship group can you turn to if you hear the words, I never knew you? The whole point of our life is to know him. Is if anything ever takes the place of truly knowing Jesus, it will ultimately destroy us. God, we came to TBI. We are here today because we have to know you. We have to know your voice. We have to know your presence. We have to recognize your face, God. We have to have eyes for you and you alone. So, Father, I thank you that you would cause each and every one of them right now to say, this is my priority. This is my purpose, is to know him and make him known. Father, I thank you that they would just erase every other doubt, every other idea that they came with or they're leaving with right now, Father, that you would take it away. And remind them that they want to stand before you one day and say, you hear you say, well done, my good and my faithful servant. They've been good servants. Father, they've been good servants. We want to see them be faithful servants. Those that continue to follow you beyond these four walls. Those that continue to read their Bibles, continue to pray, continue to believe, God. Those that continue to stand for righteousness and for your name's sake, God, we thank you that they will be faithful servants in Jesus' name. This is a silver platter moment. God's asking just you to put your prayers on the silver platter altar. You call it whatever you want. But God is literally asking, saying, what do you have need of? What do you have? So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. Your promises are yes and amen. Father, we lack no good thing. We have all things pertaining to life and godliness. I thank you, Lord, that this season at Texas Bible Institute, if it ends here or if it's y'all are coming back, I thank you right now that what you implanted is firmly rooted. Father, I thank you that they are a Psalms 1 tree planted by the rivers of living water. Father, I thank you that the fruit coming off of them is your perfection. Father, I thank you that even now, Father, I say that their spiritual eyes are opening up. Their eyes of their understanding are being opened up. Father, I refuse to allow them to step into the next season
looking back and not saying this was a great season. I don't care what these last couple months have looked like. I can promise you there's God is doing more than what you don't know about than what you do know about. And God is implanting the word of the living word of God on the inside of you, his promises, and they're going to begin to produce in your life. That yes, we learn to walk by faith and not by sight. And yes, you do know the voice of God and the voice of the stranger you won't listen to. And yes, you can see with the eyes of discernment. And yes, you do walk in all nine gifts of the Spirit. And yes, you do have all nine fruit of the Spirit. And Father, I thank you that as they go, that they will not go as haughty, as thinking more highly of themselves. Father, that they have been implanted. Listen, the Word of God will give you a confidence, but don't forget the humility. And so, Father, I thank you that as they step into this next season, they step into the season as servants. And Father, I thank you that they are learning to serve in a new dimension. Father, that as they step at home with their parents, as they step at home with friends, as they step at home with their pastor, that they're going to become servants of all. Father, I just bless them right now.
Thank you, Father. In 2 Corinthians 4:15, it says, all things are for your sake, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Father, I thank you that you would give them all thankful hearts. Father, that they would begin to look at you and see that there was more that you did for them that they don't know about than what they do know about. Father, I thank you that you would begin to help them have hearts, attitude of gratitude, Father, that they would wake up every day and say, thank you for the air I'm breathing. Thank you for the sun. Thank you for my bed, my warm bed. Thank you for my family. Thank you for these friends. God, thank you for that season at TBI. God, thank you for what you've done in me. God, thank you for what you've begun in me, because first Philippians 1 says you're faithful to complete it. Father, I thank you that you would help them recognize the grace that's been spread through the many, that you've offered them grace upon grace upon grace, and you'll continue to offer it day after day after day, and it causes thanksgiving to well up in our hearts. God, that we can look back and see your faithfulness. We can look through even this season, look back and see where God provided, where God was there right when you needed him. He had a word in due season for you. He provided a friend when you were asking. He provided a teacher to lead and guide you right when you needed it. Father, we thank you for being our all, our El Shaddai, everything we need, God. You are amazing, and we want to have an attitude of gratitude, a daily, if we have nothing else, that we can just be thankful. We can be thankful. And Father, we thank you that this would begin a lifestyle, a journey with Jesus, where they can write it down and keep record of your faithfulness and look back and recount it. That's what the people in the Old Testament did. They just looked back. And they said, look, what he led him with a pillar of fire there. He led him with a cloud there. He's going to lead me out too. I believe it. And so, Father, I thank you they'd be able to look back and see they can trust you, that it's easy to trust in God when you've known his goodness, when you've seen his goodness in your life. It's so easy to trust him. Father, I thank you that you're opening doors even now where they're going to have the ability to just set up a schedule with you, God, to really prioritize your presence in their lives. God, I don't know what their next season looks like, but I know you're going with them. That roommate's not going with them. That teacher's not going with them, but their Bible is. Father, I thank you that they're taking home the Word of God. I thank you that they're taking home a relationship with you, God, and that's going to sustain them in every season. Father, I thank you that you are everything they need. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, right now, I see the next group of people that are I'll say it like this. Moses, he gets led out from God's voice. And then after that, he followed him by a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. That they said, I'm going to go where he goes. That is really that simple. It's really that simple. And in fact, there was a point where Moses said, God, I'm not going to go anywhere unless you go.
Yeah.
I just say right now, Father, let that be our prayer.
Yeah.
Father, let us be people of your presence. Jesus, I only want to be where you are.
Yeah.
Jesus, I only want to say what you are saying. Yes. Jesus, I only want to do what I see you doing. I thank you, Lord, that we are people of your presence. I thank you, Jesus, that we establish your kingdom all around us. I thank you that we aren't afraid of inviting you in every single moment. And Father, I thank you that the more uncomfortable naturally we are in a situation to invite you, it just proves how much more that you should be there.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
Father,
yeah.
I thank you if that's at home with family and maybe they don't believe what we believe here. Father, I thank you that it's a perfect moment for a miracle, that you're going to begin to show up. Father, I just declare right now that there will be Shekinah glory moments. There'll be moments where your presence would show up so thick that, Father, that people would think that homes are on fire. Father, that there'd be moments. I just see, like, and I know y'all say, man, this is crazy, and I've never even seen it yet. But I just say, I see gold dust in people's homes. I see oil running out of people's hands. I see God replacing cavities with new teeth. Like, why not? Why not, God? Why not? We invite you, Jesus. You want nothing but good for your people. You're a good Father. And right, just right now, Father, I thank you. I thank you. You said, on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. On earth. And I just heard this. We can't ask for heaven on earth without doing what heaven is doing. So right now, me and Ryan were just talking about the weird stuff that's in heaven. You know, there's like angels with eyes all over their wings and just weird stuff. Angelic, I mean, powerful. But there's also elders throwing down crowns. And I refuse to say God show up without bringing a sacrifice. David said this. He was about to do a sacrifice. Oh, was it David? It was somebody. It was good. I'm pretty sure it was David. But this guy said, you're going to sacrifice a bull? Let it be my bull. Yeah, I'll give it to you. And he says, I'll never want to sacrifice something that I didn't pay for. And there's a payment. There's something that happens when we begin to offer ourselves on the altar of the Lord as living sacrifices, that we pay with our time. We give with every lifted hand. We begin to worship. So, Father, right now, I thank you. Let us become valuable offerings on your altar. I thank you, Jesus, that we will offer time. We'll offer our music. We'll offer our friends. Father, we just give out the valuable that's in us back over to you in Jesus' name.
Father, I wrote actually in a prayer culture moment that heaven's getting closer. It's getting closer. Do you see it? Can you feel it? Father, give us eyes for eternity. Father, help us not get so overwhelmed with what's happening today that we can't see what you're doing all around us. Father, I pray that you would help us to recognize when heaven shows up, that we wouldn't be so familiar, that we wouldn't go like, oh, I already prayed like this today. Oh, I've already been with Jesus today. Oh, I've already heard his voice like 10 times. God, help us to never, ever get familiar with the presence of God. If the angels are still crying holy, God, help us to be those that have that word on our lips at all times. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. He's coming. He's coming. Father, we thank you that you would help us to see it, to know it, to feel it, God, to know that heaven is closer than it's ever been. And it's only as close as we invite you to be. Father, we want to invite you closer. We want to invite you in. Let there be no crevice of our hearts where you're not welcome. Father, we say, come in, come in. We bust down every door, every dark place, God. You come in. Father, we thank you that heaven has entered into the hearts of these students today, Jesus, and that you have free reign. You're welcome in every room. You're welcome to clean it up. You're welcome to remove it, God. You're welcome to do a renovation. We just say, have your way. Jesus, we thank you for this time that we've had together with them. I pray that something has been solidified in their hearts today. We know that we have planted seeds, God, so we're just asking that you would bring the waterers. We're asking that you would bring the increase, God. We're asking that even today they would have miracles in their lives, Father, that they would have answered phone calls, that they would have checks in the mail, that they would have answered prayers, that they would have restoration and friendship, God, that you can do anything. So we thank you for answered prayers today. And just for this short time we've had together, these few minutes, God, I pray that you would remind them forever that it only takes a moment with Jesus to change everything. In Jesus' name.
Joe? Noah? Sweet. Awesome. Hey, I see the tenderness of God all over you. I see that, I don't know everything, but I saw, it's almost like your heart is going to tenderize. through life. And the Lord is saying, I'm going to plant a seed inside of your tender heart that's going to establish a new family line. And so, Father, I thank you for this young man. I thank you for what you're doing in this family. I thank you, Father, like I see a generational garden coming out of you. I see like you're changing your family lineage. I see like what God, like that God is going to plant something in your life. Like it's just, you know, like all these vineyards over in California, they're generational. And I see a generational vineyard coming out of you, bringing a new wine to your area. Father, I just declare it over him right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Just receive. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for this time. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, normally we could just, but we'll just kind of just marinate in the moment. We're not super rushed. We have some slush room here. So we're just kind of, we'll ease in. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I just want each of you to be encouraged that we are the first fruits in our family to run after Jesus like this. We didn't have examples set before us. We don't have fathers that were pastors and ministers. We don't have a lineage of faith that we can lean on when we fell and when we fall short. Yeah, we is it. We is it. We have God and God alone. And so let me encourage some of you. You may say, well, I don't have a great church to go home to, and I don't have a praying mom or even a friend that I can go grab hands with when I'm in time of need. But let me encourage you that God will bring people. God will bring people at the, I promise you, it'll be that boss, right? Like the most unexpected place. You'll get the job, and then the manager just happens to be a spirit-filled believer. And you're like, how, where did you come from? How did this happen? But only God can do that, and he will. He'll open. That's why I was praying that you're going to think, well, this isn't exactly where I wanted to be and what I wanted to do. And then there's going to be someone there that you can lock arms with and continue to agree and grow in God. And so, Father, I just thank you that you're going to do that. You're going to bring supernatural relationships, mentors, people to guide, people to just lead them, continue to lead them in the ways of the Lord. I thank you that they would even look in, maybe look up to grandpas and great uncles, people they haven't talked to in a long time, someone that they weren't even considering, God, to be a leader in their life. I pray that you would give them those relationships now, Father. I thank you that you would cause covenant to be formed. I thank you that you would cause them to have ears to hear and to really ask. The Bible says if you lack wisdom, just ask. Actually, I was looking at that because, you know, the snares are there, right? And they're always going to be there. The traps are out there. They're always going to be there. But a healthy fear of the Lord develops an intimacy with him that gives us discernment and the ability to make wise choices. When we have a healthy fear of the Lord, it doesn't matter where we're at, who we're with, where we're working, what we're doing. It gives us the ability to have discernment because we've been intimate with the Lord. We know his thoughts. We know his ways. Because we fear him, we search him out. And then we say, whoa, God, you're going to help me be wise right here. And we are still seeking wisdom. We are 16 years later still seeking the wisdom of God for our kids, for our future, for our endeavors. Everything we do, you never arrive. You never show up and go, okay, that was it. Thanks, God. Got it. Never, ever. And so for the rest of your life, God's going to bring people along at just the right time. Those relationships that push you further into his presence and that keep you strong and solid in who you are and who he is. And so, Father, we thank you that you're doing that now in Jesus' name.
My friend in the tall with, you're the tall one because the other guy's, you know, about my height. No judgment, bro. No judgment. Hey, have you ever read the book, Jack and the Beanstalk? You ever heard it? You know the story? It's been a while, right? It's okay. I'll remind you. There was there was something that was valuable that was traded for 3 beans. This kid got in trouble by his mom, and he throws these beans outside. The next thing you know, he has this big, gigantic beanstalk that's grown. And, I feel like that there's been something you've thrown that is not valuable out. And the Lord's saying, yeah, well, actually, that was a seed, and it's going to take you higher. You just have to have the boldness to climb up. So anyways, this Jack gets bold. He climbs up to the top of this beanstalk, and there's a few things there. There's a golden harp that sang all the time. There was a goose that laid golden eggs and a giant. And I see you as a young man who, if you're bold enough to climb and you're bold enough to fight a giant, he'll give you breakthrough like you've never seen. He'll give you breakthrough like you've never seen. And at that point, he gets what's valuable, and then he goes back down, and he changes his family's life. And it goes on. It's pretty cool. He takes an axe, like, chops down them. The giant falls, and he dies. But I just declare over you that you're like a young David, that you're not scared of climbing going to a different level. You're not scared of fighting a giant. You're not scared of going to a new place in God. But in fact, you are challenged by it, that you've looked at stuff. You said, I don't know about that. I don't, you know, you kind of these thoughts of like it. But I'm going to tell you right now that God's more real than you know, that he'll open up doors that Amen. No man could open. He'll shut doors that no man could shut. In Amen. Fact, he's going to even give you glimpses into the spirit realm that will scare the junk out of you. And I mean that. I've seen into the spirit sometimes. And I promise you, it's sometimes the scariest moment, but all of a sudden you come out with a new perspective, yeah. And God's going to give you a new perspective in life, Amen. And you're going to begin to see things and situations in a new aspect, like yeah. almost like you'll see, it's discernment, so the Lord's going to release discernment, I'll Amen. Say it like that, Amen. Where you can see the spirit behind of what's happening.
Yeah, Amen.
And he's going to give that to you.
Amen.
So Father, I just release that over to him, and we're going to kind of, shift back in.
Yeah. Oh, they get a break.
We can't. Yeah. I was just saying, the world is not looking any less worldly. So it's time for the people of God to look more godly, right? So that's our goal, right? Let's keep the main thing and hunger and thirst for righteousness for the rest of our lives. Because you'll never get full. You'll never get full. We've spent many, 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 many moments and times in his presence like this, and you never get full. It should leave you hungry for more. And so while they're out there looking more worldly, let's spend our time looking more godly, searching after him, seeking him. And we're actually going to, I don't even think we gave you a title, but our whole goal today, the purpose of our talk, our session, was to get you in a place of prayer and planning, because that will set up the rest of your future. And so we did the prayer part. That was fun. Next, we're going to do just an intro to kind of planning your next steps and what it looks like. Bam. You don't want to miss it.
It's going to be so boring.
No, it's not. No, it's not. All right. So we got about 10 minutes for you guys to take a break and then come back in here. Jason's going to come back up and close us out. Thank you so much, Jason.
So at this time, if y'all would like to step out so you can go pick up your children. You are more than welcome to, but as they're walking out, there's no distance in the spirit, so I'd like each of y'all to raise your hands, bow your eyes, close your eyes, or bow your heads, close your eyes, and I'm going to speak a prayer over them of just thanks and blessings for the words, not only that they gave to Jayden and Noah, but to any word that might have stuck out to your hearts, any moment, any little phrase. They've done their part. They've listened to God, and they've spoken to you. And now it's your time to go into personal devos and seek after these things, to go into your personal studies and then find out what they mean specifically for you, because it's not enough for us to receive and like, oh, we're thankful, thank you, and then leave it at that. His word is so much more alive, and the words that he imparts into people is so much more alive in that it can change our lives, but only if we accept it and seek after it. So I encourage you, let that be your personal devotion for the day. And if you've already done it, do it again. You can never get enough of his presence. So go ahead and bow your head, close your eyes. Father God, I thank you for this perfect moment that you've given us, this perfect teaching for this moment, for this hour, for this minute, for this second, Father. I thank you that they were, Mr. and Mrs. Fitzgerald, were willing and able to hear from you in this moment, and that they are willing to impart even more to us in the next hour to come, Father. I thank you that they will continue to be able to provide for their families. Your blessings will pour out onto them, and your blessing and love will continue to pour out to them so they can pour out into others out of their overflow, even more unlike ever before. I thank you that their new seasons will be a new incense of worship that they have never seen before, new incense of sacrifice that they've never seen before, one that will continue to lead them into new areas, into new places that, as Mr. Jacob mentioned, may be uncomfortable, may be awkward, but as you've shown me and as you've shown many other people here, Father, we thank you for the awkward moments. We thank you for the uncomfortable, because Our flesh is uncomfortable. Our spirit is rejoicing, but our flesh is uncomfortable. So, Father, thank you that through that confirmation that we know we are seeking you and we are being diligent about it. In your holy name, amen. So, yes, and then you'll have 10 minutes to meet at SDH. So please be there on time.